The idea of buying them now will be on the day after the service out in the foyer area. If you want to buy for your visitors, you can say, hey, I've got lunch for you. You just hand in your voucher and then you get the wrap instead of having to bring money and do the money exchange on the day. So Andrew Plain will be out there selling them. Andrew, where are you? So there he is there. So Andrew, stand up again, Andrew. Stand up again, so turn around. That's Andrew Plant. If you want one of those vouchers, go see Andrew. That's a wrap.
Yeah.
Thank you. So we finished last week the Book of Nehemiah, which is a great series, which we talked about. The whole idea of building the wall of Jerusalem. And the spiritual analogy of that for us is in the times things can crumble around us, but we can always rebuild. And in those days, God sent back to Jerusalem some exiles who ended up rebuilding the wall and the lessons we learned from that. So now we're going to start a new series. We're going to be in the book of Philippians as we go through this book over the coming weeks. So if you want to turn with me down, let's read some verses together. It's Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus. To all the saints in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart, for whether I'm in the chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Let's just stop there. Let's begin with a word of prayer together. Our God in heaven, we just thank you so much, Father, for the opportunity to be here. Father, we are here only because of you. This is by your design, Father. We come here as a body, Father, coming from so many different parts of life, so many different cultures. And only under you, Father, can this happen. We're grateful for this. We thank you, Father, for what we can learn. We thank you for how you reached out to us. We thank you for Christ and everything he did for us. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins and the grace and mercy that you poured out through him. Father, I pray as we look at the book of Philippians that we can learn so much from this great church that existed, Father, 2,000 years ago. Help us to imitate their faith, Father, and the way they live their lives. Help us to open up our hearts today. Be with me, Father, as I preach your word. May your spirit work powerfully, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. You know, Philippi, or the Philippians, were in Macedonia. That was a church that was in Macedonia. It was a Roman colony, just a little bit of background. It was a Roman colony. It had a little bit of shaky ground. We first see it in Acts 16, with the Philippian jailer and Lydia get converted. Maybe a bit of a rocky start because Paul went there and preached and ended up getting put in prison. But out of that dire situation, God worked powerfully and a great church was born. You know, Philippi was a church where apparently a place where Roman soldiers would go and retire. So Augustus in 31 BC allowed Roman soldiers, you could go a place and retire, was Philippi. So it must have been a pretty decent place if you wanted to retire there. I don't know where your plan is to retire one day, if you have any plans. You can't go to Philippi, unfortunately, because there's just ruins there right now. But nonetheless, it was good to know that it was a place that you could go and retire. It's a great book. You know, Philippians has some of my favorite verses in it. I don't know about what your favorite verses are in the Bible. Philippians has some of my favorite verses in Philippians chapter 4, where Paul writes, rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. And then he goes on and says, do not be anxious about anything, but by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God, and the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. That's a great verse. I love the fact that the Bible says, don't be anxious about anything. Yep. That's a challenge, right? Mm-hmm. But through prayer and petition, that God's peace can come upon you. And I love it. I love that verse. And there's so many other verses. You know, if we look at this text, you know, Paul says here, just in the very beginning, and there's no much point to go any further than we did, because it's so rich just in the opening stages there. You know, verse 3 says, I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I pray because of your partnership in the gospel. You know, Paul used this whole idea that they were partners in the gospel. And he'll go on in verse 27 of 1. He says, whatever happens, conduct yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel of Christ. That whether I come and see you or only hear about you in my absence, I will know that you stand firm in one spirit, contending as one man for the faith in the gospel. So Paul talks about this whole idea. They have this partnership, and they also contend as one man for the gospel. And I love this whole idea of partnership, because that's what stands out about the Philippian church, that they were partners. He'll go on and talk about the whole idea that in verse 8, he says, God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. He'll go on in Philippians 4:1, which is just to give an overview here a little bit. He says, therefore, my brothers, in Philippians 4:1, you whom I love and long for, my joy and my crown, that is how you should stand firm in the Lord. You know, he calls them, you know, he says, I long for you. He talks about this affection. He says, you guys are my joy and my crown. You know, it would be an understatement to suggest that Paul wasn't totally attached to the Philippian church. There was this partnership. He says, I have this affection for you. You know, the Greek word, even there, that Greek word for affection is, I'm not going to say this right. Sometimes I think I did get blue letter Bible and just literally put it on so you can hear the guy say it. But it's splachkon, something like that, splachkon. And that's where they think they get the word spleen from. But you, normally, you know, the bowels were where you carried your anger. It was a real passionate thought of them. You carried it in your bowels and you carried kind of anger and love. But here in the Hebrew, they saw it as more, what you carry in your bowels is more like a sense of love and affection, this tenderness that you had. You carried it deep. You carried it deep. And he says, that's the sort of affection I have for you. There was a real camaraderie. There's this real attachment that Paul had with the Philippian church. And it makes me think about us. Especially if I think about partnership. Because partnership was big in Paul's mind. You know, the Greek word, my first point this morning, before I get on the Greek word about partnership, my first point this morning pointing is partners to shine. Partners to shine. The Greek word for partnership is koinonia. I said that better. Trust me. If you wanted to, I know Skevy's looking at me because she can speak Greek. Koinonia. And that means a joint participation or a fellowship or an intimacy. And if you look at the blue letter Bible, it also means intercourse. They've even got that as part of it. But that's what's going on here. This partnership that Paul talks about is this real sense of we're together. We're real partners. There's a real intimacy about that. It's nothing fake. It's not something we just kind of throw away. It's not something we just say hi, bye sort of thing. No, there's a real depth. So the affection which he feels in his gut, this partnership, which is this intimacy that he shares with this church, is very deep. And I think it's something we need to seriously think about. Do we have that here in this church? Do we have this here in the Melbourne Church of Christ? This is an important plant. This is important for Paul, and it was great to him to understand that there was the partnership. I don't know what you think about when you think of partnerships. What do you think about when you think of partnerships? Well, the first thing that came to mind was Batman and Robin for me, a little bit. Or maybe it's the Avengers in that sort of way. I don't know. Tarzan and Jane. I don't know. I don't know how many partnerships you can think of exactly. I really don't. We don't care about those partnerships, but in the Bible there were some great partnerships. Moses and Aaron, Joshua and Caleb, David and Jonathan. How many can you name? I'm sure you can name a few, right? Maybe not. Adam and Eve. Interesting partnership. It was a partnership, yes. Sorry? No, not Ananias and Sapphira. We've got all these bad names coming up now. That was not a good partnership, Ananias and Sapphira. If you want to know what not a good partnership is in marriage, is look up Ananias and Sapphira, and that's not a good one at all. You know, there was Jesus and Peter and James and John, Paul and Timothy, Paul and Barnabas, Paul and Silas. Some great partnerships. And yet probably the greatest partnership that we know was who? Jesus and God. Amen. Jesus and the Father, absolutely. You know, in John chapter 10, verse 30, Jesus says, I and the Father are one. I and the Father are one. In John 14, 30 and 31, Jesus says, I do exactly what my Father has commanded me. That was a great partnership. And look what they achieved. Through that partnership that they had, the world was saved. We could be redeemed. The concept of partnership is an important thing to understand, and one we don't need to lose sight of. You know, I appreciate my partnership with my wife. 30 years, we just celebrated 30-year anniversary last year, 30 years ago. And I appreciate that partnership. And she's definitely the one. Without that partnership in my life, I would not be the man I am today if it wasn't for that partnership. We've been in the ministry all that time together. We were in the ministry before we got married, and we've been able to stay in the ministry together for the last 30 years. And I'm grateful for that. I'm grateful for the partnership. We're able to raise two amazing sons, Jared and Brandon. That wouldn't have happened without the partnership we had. And they married amazing women. I know she doesn't like me to talk about her. She never likes to be the center of attention. Well, she shouldn't have married a preacher's son. That's all I'm going to say. But it's awesome. You know, I love the partnership we have with them, the partnership we have with Jared and Tamsin and Brandon and Megan. It's a great partnership. We need to have these partnerships here in this room. You know, the partnership Paul had was with a whole church, the Philippian church. And through that partnership, I think they did great things. You know, in Thessalonians, Paul says the church rang out from Thessalonica. But I do believe that without a doubt, probably the church in Philippi, the message would have rung out from the church in Philippi. This was a great partnership. The gospel would have spread because of the partnership they had. It's the partnership that we can share in this room that can make a difference to this world. But we need to be partners, and we need to understand what that partnership is, that we have that intimacy, where we contend as one for the faith. We're on the same page. We're not going in different directions. We work together as a team. That's powerful. But do we understand the meaning of this? Do we understand what it means to have a great partnership? Because it's important. You know, the partnership they had brings glory to God. The partnership they had brought honor to God. And I want us to understand that what we do here makes a difference. How we conduct ourselves within ourselves, with each other, makes a difference to how God is honored and glorified. Let's go to Malachi for a second. Malachi chapter 1. Malachi chapter 1. This is interesting. Beginning, it just says there, verse 1, an oracle, the word of the Lord to Israel through Malachi. And let's pick it up in verse 6. Oh, let's read it from the beginning. That's fine. Verse 2. It says, I have loved you, says the Lord, but you ask, how have you loved us? Was not Esau Jacob's brother, the Lord says? Yet I have loved Jacob, but Esau I have hated. And I've turned his mountains into a wasteland and left his inheritance to the desert jackals. Edom may say, though we have been crushed, we will rebuild the ruins. But this is what the Lord Almighty says. They may be built, but I will demolish. What they may build, but I will demolish. They will be called the wicked land, a people always under the wrath of the Lord. You will see it with your own eyes and say, great is the Lord, even beyond the borders of Israel. A son honors his father, and a servant his master. If I am a father, where is the honor due to me? If I am a master, where is the respect due to me? Says the Lord Almighty. It is you, O priests, who show contempt for my name. But you ask, how have we shown contempt for your name? You place defiled food on my altar. But you ask, how have we defiled you? By saying that the Lord's table is contemptible. When you bring blind animals for sacrifice, is that not wrong? When you sacrifice crippled or diseased animals, is that not wrong? Try offering them to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Now implore God to be gracious to us. With such offerings from your hands, will he accept you? Says the Lord Almighty. Now let's just stop there. You know, this is interesting. You may think, what does this have to do with anything? Maybe what to do with this verse particularly, and the whole idea of partnership. When I read this and I thought about partnership, the thing that stood out to me was the whole idea that as a partnership with the church, that what we do and how we conduct ourselves and how we are with each other ultimately brings honor to God. One way or another, what we do either brings dishonor or what we do brings honor. So I think whatever we do, if we're going to say we are disciples of Jesus, disciples of the Father, then how we conduct ourselves must make a difference to how we're perceived. You know, here in the book of Malachi, you know, God really lays them out. You know, somebody would bring a diseased animal for a sacrifice. They had a male one there. God says, you know, you cheat me. You've got a male, heaven forbid, someone who's got a great male animal that he can offer for a sacrifice. And instead of giving that, he gives a diseased animal. And, you know, Malachi puts up this argument. He says, give them to your governor and see how that goes down. Give your seconds, give your scrap to your governor and see how that goes down. And isn't that the same with us, how we conduct ourselves as a people claiming to be of God? You know, I know at times I bang on about punctuality and things that we do, but I think there's a point here, isn't it? We say we want to start at 10:30. It's not the whole idea to be here at 10:30. We want to be in here singing at 10:30. Isn't that a witness when we just kind of stroll in wherever we want? There's no attempt to be here on time. No attempt to say, man, I want to be there early so I can fellowship. Maybe I can be there early and help set up. Maybe there's lots of things I can do. I can do lots of things. But isn't it contemptible when we just kind of roll up whenever we want and it doesn't really matter? Do that to your boss and see how long you got a job. Just rock up whenever you want. See what they say to you. See how long you've been working for. But of course, but I need the money. And this is not about forcing our hand. This is about us thinking about why we do what we do.
Right.
My partnership is with God first and foremost. That's why I serve. That's why I do what I do. I've learned a lot over my years, and I really work hard now more than ever to be a man of my word. More than ever. I should have done that at the beginning, of course. And it wasn't like I went out of my way not to, obviously. If someone sends me a text, I want to get back to them. Someone rings me, I want to ring them back. Have this sense of integrity about what we do with our lives. That my yes be yes and my no, no. That's what the Bible teaches. Or otherwise, why? How are we different? This is about bringing honor to God. I know you see it about me, you know, banging on you, barking at you. Come on, guys. Come on, time. Come on, time. I had someone last week. I was sitting there. It was just before 10:30. And they said to me, Gee, Mike, last week you talked about punctuality. Look what happened. I said, what can you say to that? Except, I don't know. What do you say? I don't know what to say to that. It's embarrassing. That's what it is. I don't take offense, by the way. Maybe I should. I don't take offense. What offends me is our lack of understanding of how we view God. How we don't have that respect and that honor for God. That's the issue. And that's in everything we do. That's in everything we do. That's why Paul will go on and talk about the whole idea that, you know, do whatever you do, working as if working for the Lord. Whether in our job, whatever we do, we give our heart to it, because in our minds, man, this is me. I'm serving God. I'm partnering with God. Is that the way you see your life? Do you see yourself in partnership with Jesus, with God? Is that what it's about? I could talk about dress right now if you want to. We could talk about dress. I don't know. What was that brother in Jakarta that Kiki talks about? He was a businessman of some sort, and he became a disciple. And he I can't remember the story totally, but all I know is he gets up in the morning of his quiet time and he gets changed like he's going to work. He dresses in a suit to meet God. And he said, you know what, I would dress in a suit to go and meet businessmen. Well, if I'm going to go meet the Lord of heaven and earth, the creator of all things, I'm going to get dressed up. I'm going to get dressed up. I don't know how you have your quiet times. Are you tired? You know, just barely, you know. Trying to wake up, having a cup of coffee, trying to read my Bible, you know, trying to get. Or are you like, no, I'm going to be fresh. I'm not going to give God my scraps. I'm not going to do it. Okay, let me just squeeze in a quiet time here. You know, slopping my rice bubbles on my milk and my pages stuck together from the slopped milk. I've had that before. I can say that with conviction, because I've had that where I'm eating my Weet-Bix before I know my pages are stuck together from the dried milk. But are we giving our God our best? Yeah. Are we making sure we come to meet God? We're fresh. We're not tired. We've woken up. We've had our shower. We don't have our quiet time in bed, barely waking up, and then I'll get up and have my shower and get fresh to go to work. No, I'm fresh. But the partnership thing is first and foremost the partnership we have with God, and then how this partnership are with each other. And I do think it's something we need to continually work on. I love the Melbourne Church, you know that. I love what we have. I think we've got something very special, very special. But I also think we can take it a lot higher. Amen. I also think we can take it a lot more serious than we do. And I just want us to focus on the whole idea of what is the partnership that we have. Do we see our partnership as first and foremost with God the Father and Jesus? Because how we conduct ourselves, what we do here, ultimately makes a huge difference to the rest of the world. And that's what this is about. That's what this is about. Trying to give people an example to follow, to say there's something special here. What is it about you guys? The way you love each other, the way you this intimacy I see, this love, that's what people need to see. And that's what this is all about. Let's go on to the next point. Go back to Philippians chapter 1, just to finish up. Philippians 1. And there's this great verse that we talk about at times. In verse 9. It'll say, and this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so you may be able to discern what is best, and may be pure and blameless until the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. And this is a great verse. We often talk about this, you know, in the ministry. People will come to us and they'll come with all sorts of issues and problems and concerns and like, how do I do this? Or how do I do that? How do I overcome this? I've got kids' problems, I've got marriage problems, I've got all these problems. And this is a verse we'll often go to. And say, you know what Paul told the Corinthian church? He says, the Philippian church, may your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so you can do what? So that you can discern what is best. My second point quickly here today is love will always find a way. And I think that's what Paul's saying there. You know what? Love will always find a way. And I think that's a great point. I think that's what he's saying here. That your love may abound. And what is the knowledge and depth of insight that love provides? What is that knowledge and depth of insight? As I said, sometimes there's always issues. You know, I was talking to Karen the other day, and I was reading this, and it just occurred to me. And I said to Karen, I said, you know what, Karen? I really think at times I struggle. I struggle to trust people's love. At times I really struggle to trust people's love. Now, this is going to sound a little bit conflicting all over the place here. Trusting God's love? I trust God's love. Never had an issue with that. Understanding the grace of God, trusting God's grace in my life. But at times I definitely struggle trusting people's love. Exactly. The next question Karen said was, do you trust my love? Okay, here we go. Did you have to make it so personal? Why do we have to go there so fast? Why is it the next thing that comes out of your mouth? Why can't it be the, can we talk about something else around that? Why are you feeling that? You know, or you want to talk about that a little bit more, explore a little bit later, you know, just go a little bit, but no, straight in, go for the jugular. So, do you trust my love? That's what came out of the mouth. You know, the mouth of babes, and beautiful they are. And I said, yes, I do. I do trust her love. Absolutely. And then I thought about it. And that was it. That was the end of that conversation. That's my depth right there, right? That's how far that went. But then of course, the question comes back to me. Is my love genuine? Can people trust my love? Or am I fickle? Because we get fickle in love, right? It's fickle. We can be fickle individuals when it comes to love. And we are. We are fickle. You know, what is the knowledge and depth of insight that Paul talks about? Maybe it's a song that the Beatles wrote. Now, for anyone who was born after 1980, you wouldn't have a clue what I'm talking about. Anyone, you know, maybe before 1980, wouldn't have a clue. All you need is love. Maybe that is the knowledge and depth of insight that he's talking about. Maybe that was it. But I know this is a personal thing for me. You know, when he says, mate, you know, he says, I pray that your love, individually, you guys, may your love abound more and more so you can discern what is best. It's kind of where you're at. What is it that you need to learn about love? What's the insight that you need to learn about love that's going to set you free? Because love is fickle, and we are fickle individuals, and our love comes and our love goes. And it's conditional, and sometimes it's unconditional, but sometimes it's very conditional. And we know how that goes. It is. You love me, I love you. I say I love you, you say I love me. If you stop saying I love you, I'm going to stop saying I love you. That's the way this goes. That's the way we live our lives. We become conditional people because that's what the world teaches us. And maybe that's the lesson there. You know, we just finished a series on the freedom of self-forgetfulness. And what was that all about at the end of the day? Well, the more I forget self and be filled with God's love, the more unconditional my love will be. For me, that's what it is. All I know is the more I empty self, the more room there is for God. You know, we face many issues, and generally the majority of our issues are people. I often say this. It's true. You can put a percentage on it, but I'm telling you now, the majority of issues you will face in your life are people. If it's not your parents, it's your boss. If it's not your boss, it's your schoolmates. If it's not your schoolmates, it's your friends. If it's not your friends, it's your girlfriend. If it's not your girlfriend, it's your boyfriend. If it's not your wife, it's your husband. You know, it goes on and on. If it's not your kids. They're the issues we have. A lot of them are all people issues. And how are we going to deal with those people issues? What's the answer to those people issues? Just maybe. Love. The love will find a way. Love does have the answer. If you want it, if you want the answer, look no further but love. You know, it's kind of funny. Paul says the same thing in Ephesians. Just turn there just to finish up. Look in Ephesians. It's nice to know Paul continues the theme a little bit. In verse 14 of chapter 3, I thought you knew, sorry. I thought you were smarter than that. Just kidding. He says, "For this reason, I kneel before the Father, from whom his whole family in heaven and on earth derives its name. I pray that out of his glorious riches, he may strengthen you with power through his spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." And then he says, "I pray that you, being rooted and established in love, may have power together with all the saints to grasp how wide, how long, and high and deep is the love of Christ. And to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God." I mean, there's some amazing words that Paul put together there. And he makes it very clear, doesn't he? That you may be being rooted and established in love. You know, love will always find a way. And as Paul said that, I pray that for us. That we become the partners in love, partners to shine. And that we have a love and understand we have this love that Paul talks about that abounds more and more. And you figure out yourself what love, what is the knowledge and discernment you need to learn. What is it that love is going to help you overcome? You know, I think we struggle to share our faith. I think we struggle to have the impact we need to have. Firstly, because we're not as focused as we need to be. I appreciate Anthony sharing the fact that he says, in those early days, I just went out and shared my faith. Because it was filled with the love of just, man, I just need to get out there. And we had that heart. We didn't second guess ourselves. We just knew the answer was the truth. I know at times my motives aren't always true. I'm not always acting out of love. I know that for a fact. But I know one thing for sure, whether I'm loving or faithless, wherever I am in my life, this is the truth. This has the answers to life. I don't know if I can bring people to this, it will have the impact. It will have the impact it needs to have. And I think we forget that. We go round and round our heads, wondering what I should do, what I shouldn't do. We're worried about what people think, what they don't think, whether I'm going to be accepted or not accepted. It's irrelevant. If you have love, those things don't come into it. That's the partnership we need to share together. Because that's what's going to make a difference. And I'm not just trying to bark at you. Maybe just a little. But I do want you to take seriously the way we conduct our lives. I want you to take seriously what Malachi talks about. What sort of partnership do you have here in this room? How's your marriage going as partners? Are you partners that are shining as you hold out the word of life? Are you partners where you can bring people into your house and they just sense that love, that intimacy? If we have it in our home, then we can have it here. If we have it here, then we can take it wherever we go. And that's what's going to help.